The new coronavirus can be a serious and life-threatening disease, but most people, about 80% of confirmed cases, have mild to moderate symptoms and then recover. Still, for those who come out the other side, there are lingering questions and frustrations. Patty White brings us the stories of several people who are either contending with the virus or who have recovered.
The first thing that tipped off Deborah Napier that something was wrong wasn't a cough or a fever. It was an onion.
And I'm peeling it and chopping it. I'm going, this isn't bothering me at all. I'm not smelling it. It's not affecting my eyes. What is going on here?
She sauteed it, added garlic, but she couldn't smell or taste it. This lasted for days, and when she called her doctor, she was told it could be precancerous growths in her nose. But after Napier shared that she'd recently traveled to New York and that her granddaughter, who had recently spent the night, now had a fever and sore throat, her doctor sent her to a drive-through clinic to get tested for COVID-19.
Which was very Orwellian. They came outside, they had facial screens on and long gowns and gloves, and it was really something.
3 days later, her results came back positive, which was actually good news.
Because I said, oh my gosh, I don't have cancerous tumors up my nose, thank God.
A loss of smell and taste has been linked to COVID-19. Even though it's not listed as an official symptom, it was among the strongest that Napier experienced, as well as exhaustion.
I was going through something that I thought was depression those first few days. I couldn't get out of my own way. I had to drag myself with great determination out of bed.
Napier suspects she got the coronavirus during her trip to New York in early March. But 55-year-old Chris Wolfe of Topsom says she doesn't know where she got the infection. She practiced physical distancing after her work office closed on March 12th. A few days later, she developed a fever and headache.
And the only outlier was a food shopping trip to Portland. And since there's community spread in Portland, I assume that's where I might have picked it up. Because when I was tested positive, I was only one of four positive cases in Sagadahoc County at that point.
Along with the fever and headache, Wolf says she felt short of breath. She'd get winded just walking her dog around the block.
It was scary. I mean, there's so little known about this that, of course, you jump to the worst conclusions. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to end up in the hospital on a ventilator. And I'm older and I have some underlying health things. And so, of course, it's hard not to have your mind go to the worst case scenario. Luckily, I'm one of the milder cases.
The fear of the unknown is shared by others who have COVID-19 and those who care for them. Roger Cates, a former state senator who lives in Brunswick, says he took his wife Erica to Maine Medical Center after she developed a fever and had trouble breathing.
The scariest moment was just going down to that emergency room and not know what was going to happen when she went through those doors.
Cates couldn't follow her in because hospitals are barring most visitors to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And he's had to continue keeping his distance after doctors examined Erica and told her she had COVID-19, though they didn't use a test because of the limited supply.
It's a real disconnect because when your wife is sick, the first thing you want to do is hug her and comfort her. And that's exactly what you can't do under these circumstances. And you have to maintain complete physical distance. And that's very hard to do and keep doing day after day.
He and his wife have developed a kind of dance at home. He sleeps in the guest room and she stays in the bedroom. He delivers plates of food to a table just outside the door. They've synchronized two TVs so they can watch shows at the same time, but not in the same room.
I do a lot of hanging out with her, but I'm at the door probably 15 feet away. And that's about as close as we get.
Some days are better than others, Kate says. Erica has asthma, and she still has some difficulty breathing. But overall, he says she's improving.
You worry what the next hour is going to bring and the next day is going to bring, and hope that it every day just gets a little bit better.
Kate says he is concerned that Erica isn't in the official state count. And there are others who worry about that, too. Jennifer LaRivier of Buxton says it's on her mind when she watches the daily updates from the Maine Center for Disease Control.
And seeing every day them saying, you know, here's the amount of cases every day. But then my husband and I are sitting here and we're like, well, those numbers could be a lot higher. But you just don't know because we could be two more cases that we're adding to the state's number and you're not even testing us.
A couple weeks ago, LaRivier says she developed a fever along with chills, coughing, and body aches. She called her doctor, who told her she probably had COVID-19 and should stay at home. A few days later, after LaRivière's husband developed symptoms, she called her doctor again.
And ended up doing a video chat where she could actually see both of us, asked us a bunch of questions. And from there, she basically said, I'd be surprised if you guys don't have it, but we just don't have enough tests. You guys are not sick enough to come down and get tested. So again, we were turned down from getting an actual test.
Which is frustrating for LaRivière. If she and her husband knew they had recovered from COVID-19, she says, they'd be in a better position to help others. Even people who tested positive share this frustration. Deborah Napier, who temporarily lost her sense of smell and taste, is now officially recorded as recovered. But she says when she asked the CDC whether she could get out and volunteer because she may have immunity, she was told,
oh, no, no, you can't do that because we can't be sure.
Napier says she hopes the U.S. figures out a way to expand testing so people will know whether they have antibodies for the new coronavirus.
How are we going to get our society back together if those of us who have recovered are told we cannot go out and help, we cannot go out and volunteer?
For now, Napier says her story may at least provide some hope to others that she was in the high-risk age group for COVID-19, got it, and recovered. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.